Well, again, I got the call or got the text last night, and I did, since it was 9 and my bedtime's not 11 or 11:30, I thought, well, you know what, I'm gonna try to do a little something, which I did last night and I did again this morning. And I thought the main focus this morning was Hebrews chapter 11. But, so you can turn there, but I did have a few other verses that I wanted to kind of go over, or maybe just kind of just throw out as you turn in there, and someone can help me out with those, that'd be great. But the subject today, and I know, I think in the one Bible here it says faith in action, and the other Bible says by faith. It's really a neat chapter because it kind of just talks about a lot of different folks in the Bible and their faith, you know what I'm saying, or what have you, and their examples of faith, and just how encouraging that is to me to see. But before we get into 11, could someone read for me Matthew 17:20? Hebrews 11, I know, but that, yeah, that's that. I just, before we get into 11, I don't want you to think it's Matthew 11, but Matthew 17, verse 20.
You said 17:20?
Yeah, 17.
He said to them, because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you.
I know we've all read that one several times. Would someone mind reading Galatians 2:16? Galatians 2:16.
Maybe Alexa in here. So, hey Alexa, read. I don't know how her collection is, but
it's a shame that that little thing there isn't like Alexa, right? I would be like, Alexa, please read out of the NIV or whatever, the King James version, Galatians 2:16. Yeah, that would be cool, too. I like that idea. That's just too technology savvy.
I know.
2:16?
Yes, 2:16.
Yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law.
Thanks, Steve. So, again, it takes faith, right? Not works. Not obeying the law. It takes faith. This is the last one before we actually delve into Hebrews 11. Ephesians 2:9.
Not by works, so that no one can boast.
So, how many times have you guys just roll out in the world, right, on a daily basis, and you know, you probably, hopefully just in your own lives, people can tell and see that you're different. You know what I'm saying? That you're not, there's something about you that's different. And you might even have someone even come up to you and say, you know, Dave or Shannon or Jamie or Steve, you know, or Scott or Chris or whoever, you know, are you a very religious person or man or whatever, you know, type thing? And what do you all think, or when you're asked that, or have you ever been asked that, and what's your response? You know what I'm saying? I'm just curious. I have been asked that, or you know, say, you're religious, you're a very religious person, but aren't you? I can tell you mine if you want, but I've been asked, and I'm not, Dad would say, are you bragging or complaining? Maybe a little both, I don't know. I've been asked, and it's like, well, you know, I'd rather not think of myself as a very religious person, because the Sadducees and Pharisees were very religious too, you know. But I'd prefer that you'd say I'm a man of faith, you know, that I'm faithful, you know.
I usually say I'm a believer.
I'm a believer, yeah. I'm a man after God's own heart, right? That's the I think that's the goal for each of us as a Christian to be able to say or have to know.
You're on the right path, though, if they're asking.
They are, yeah, they are. And I'm glad they're asking. And it doesn't, I guess I'm acting like it almost offends me. It doesn't offend me, you know, per se. I mean, because hopefully they do see a difference, right? And it's like, you know, they're saying, hey, you seem to be very religious, or you seem to be, you know, what happened. But yeah, well, if we can delve, like I said, we're just, now I'm not going to bounce all around like I did earlier. So we're going to just delve and stay into Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to try to get through the whole chapter. If we don't, that's fine. I'll have something to go the next time John calls me, right, or what happens, or texts me. So does anyone want to start out reading verses 1? I don't know. Let's go down to maybe 10.
Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going, and even when he reached the land God had promised him, he lived there by faith. For he was like a foreigner living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God.
Thanks, Steve. Just backing up on one and just kind of reiterating that, you know, it says now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. So Grace.
Thank you.
Okay. Hey, Eli, how are you doing?
Hi
there. What's your name?
Lincoln.
Oh, I like that. This is Eli, and I'm sorry.
Lindsay.
All right. Well, Lindsay and Lincoln, that helps me.
Yep. That's all right.
Eli, I apologize. I'm going to probably completely mess up your last name. But it's
DeBruler.
I was going to say that. I really was. I was going to say DeBruler, but I wanted to make sure I got it right. So. But welcome. And we kind of did some prayer requests and sermons, and we prayed, and then right now we're delving into Hebrews chapter 11, where we are. We're talking about faith, and we've read 1 through 10, and was just kind of talking about that faith is basically, you know, being able to, you know, basically things that you don't see, you know what I'm saying? but still having faith that it's going to happen, you know, type of thing. And we kind of looked at some examples in here. Steve, thanks again for reading. We talked a little about, you know, Abraham. We talked a little bit about Noah. I mean, how silly did Noah look, right, when he's on dry land building this big ark, this big ship, and people are going by, and they're going, what are you doing? Yeah. Right, exactly. It's like, what in the world? You know, this is in the middle of dry land, and you're building this ship, this ark, and there's nothing. Yeah, you know. And Noah's like, hey, I'm being faithful. I'm acting out of faith. I'm doing what God's commanding me to do, and I'm going to continue to do this. And this wasn't like one of these things. Oh, I'm going to build this little model ship, right? And it's going to be done in a few hours. I mean, again, I'd have to brush up on this, but correct me if I'm wrong, this thing took years, right? I mean, this wasn't just a week or two.
100 years.
It was 100 years.
It took me a summer to build a deck with Mark. I could not fathom building a boat.
So there you go. So with modern tools, right? If James talked about, yeah, it took you a whole summer, right?
With help, right?
With help. Imagine this, and how many has been at the Ark down in, where is that at?
Williamstown.
I mean, is that an actual replica? I mean, like,
it's supposed to be to scale.
That's what I'm thinking. Well, that's what I was looking for, an architectural term. Yeah, so that's actually to scale. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look up that thing and you're like, oh my goodness. And like you said, Jamie, they didn't have modern technology, modern tools, cranes, and all this kind of stuff.
You know? And you're going to run out of trees nearby.
Yes. Right.
So you're going to have to bring some of that stuff from a long ways off.
Well, you're exactly right. And Dave, like you said, everyone else thought he was crazy, so he probably didn't get much help. You know, maybe from his sons, right? He has three or four.
I just did that. Well,
Dave did this
motion,
so I kind of, I went with it. Sorry, I embellished it a little bit. But you know, serious though, I mean, think about it. Jamie, you had help on your deck. I don't know if Noah had a whole heck of a lot of help from neighbors, you know.
Right.
Now, maybe his family, right? Because he had three sons, I believe, and then their wives, you know, or what have you. But I mean, that's kind of all that he had. And then we talked a little bit about Abraham. And Abraham was very faithful in a lot of different things. I mean, obviously, we're going to get into the point where Isaac, right? You know, he's told to, you know, basically his one and only son to sacrifice him. But you know, he was faithful too to leave his country, leave his land. You know, he was faithful when God said, "Hey, I'm still going to give you a son, even though you're 100 and your wife's 90, and what his wife, Sarah, laughed, right, or whatever. Like, yeah, right, you know. Oh, boy. So anyway, but does anyone else have any comments on verses 1 through 10? Or, yeah, 1 through 10, I think we read.
I think the very first verse, it's important that a lot of people outside of Christianity would say, you know, faith. They always think faith is hope. Faith is, he says right there, it's conviction of hope.
Right.
It's not, you're already assured. It's happened. It's done. It's in stone.
Right.
You can't see it.
Yeah.
So
And what we're going to find out here later too is some of these folks that had faith, they never did see it in their lifetime.
Yeah,
you follow what I'm saying? They stood on the promises in faith, right? Of something they couldn't see and didn't even see in their lifetime, but still yet had faith, you know, and believed. And that's kind of what we're called to do as well. So, thanks, Jamie, for it's a good point.
And it's not always going to be, you know, exactly like, you know, if we have faith in something and we envision that it's already done, it's not going to come out maybe the way that we think it is.
Right.
You know, or even the result that we think it is, but.
Right. You know, though, Steve, nine times out of 10, it turns out better, don't it? You know what I'm saying, or what have you, than what we would have thought. And I think a lot of times, too, is what I think in Sunday school class, we have talked about a few weeks ago, or maybe months ago, that crazy movie with Jim Carrey, Bruce Almighty, or whatever, yeah. And you know, he was like saying yes to everything. But in all seriousness, though, think about it. God, the creator of the universe, God, the all-knowing, you know, knows all, sees all. You know, if he answers Brad's prayer in the way that he wants it answered, it could affect negatively Eli. It could affect negatively Shannon. You know what I'm saying, or whatever. So, and really, that prayer that I'm asking for is as important as what God has in store for you. You know what I'm saying, or what have you. So it was good that God told me no, or it was good that God said wait, or you know what I'm saying, or put this on hold. And that's the thing that we'll never know. But again, we have to have faith.
So we're like 6 million people won the lottery.
Right.
And everyone's like, great, we split the, here's your $10.
Here's your dollar, here's your, exactly. All right, so you guys have to sometimes reel me in, because sometimes I get down radicals here. But all right, so if someone would mind reading verses, we're still in chapter 11 in Hebrews, but verses 11 through 20.
By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau.
Thank you. So again, and I kind of skipped ahead, I think, a little bit, but I mean, we talked about how Abraham, had faith that, God had promised that I will have descendants through Isaac, specifically, like the sands of the seashore, so to speak, or whatever. So he had no doubts that, if God wanted him to sacrifice his son, he would bring him back to life, if necessary or what have you. Of course, we all know that the ram was provided, right? And he didn't actually. But, I mean, to get to a point, have your son on an altar, have him tied up, have him under wood, get ready to, I think use the knife or whatever to stab him. I mean, he was pretty faithful.
Trusting, exactly, right?
I mean, that's, you've got Lincoln, right?
Yeah.
Can you imagine Eli, being, I mean, I can't either. I'm not picking on you or anything.
He knew it was real.
It is definitely real. So that's definitely faith. And I also like in here where they talk about that Abraham being asked to go somewhere, but not thinking about the past, not thinking about, oh, I missed this or that. He was looking forward, He was being faithful, and he was looking forward to what God had promised and the land that he had promised, and not trying to keep the door open to the past or, the other land.
So. Well, how do you convince your wife to leave the comforts of a home to live in a tent for? That's got to be a hard sell.
Oh, no, that definitely. We tease a lot. We're talking about, hey, instead of living here, maybe when we retire, we go somewhere where it's warmer, right?
Like Florida, right?
And she reminds me of one key thing, grandkids, right? And we're not even talking about Mary, the comforts, right? I'm not asking to move down to Florida in a tent, That'd be worse, wouldn't it? Just the grand, well, and the kids too, of course, they have jobs and they have homes and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah. You know where you want to go. He had no idea where he was going.
No.
That's true.
That is, yeah, very true. Very true. No, I mean, these are. I kind of like teaching this class because you guys end up teaching it more than I do. I like it. So keep them coming. All right, well, good deal. I'm going to try to read. Now, Eli, I didn't tell you this. I told the class before, but you didn't realize. I know I told you I was 53, but you didn't know I was like in my 70s or 80s, right? I go to the eye doctor the other day, and I found out that I have a cataract in my right eye. I really do, yeah. So hopefully I'm going to see Cincinnati Eye Institute on Tuesday, and they're going to keep an eye on it.
That's right.
All right, so no sympathy lap. That's why I said I'm gonna try to read this. So if I'm holding this out a little further than normal, it's because of this. All right. So for verse 13, mine is saying, it says that we are aliens and strangers. No, I know what you're saying. If it was the verse, I would do that exact same thing. I guess I could take a picture.
Oh, no, it's
all right.
It says that we are aliens and strangers. Maybe an awareness forced on us by circumstances. It may come late in life or as a result of difficult times, but this world is not our home. We cannot live here forever. It is best for us not to be so attached to this world's desires and possessions that we can't move out of God's commands. Keep going.
I think that's fine right there. Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, there's just a little excerpt on verse, specifically verse 13, and I just wanted to kind of read that. I guess the point I wanted to make is that, you know, when you think about it, we are all aliens or foreigners. You know what I'm saying? This isn't our permanent home, you know. This is just temporary. Whether we rent or lease or whether we own, you know what I'm saying, or whatever, just think about it. We had a home in Hebron, but someday someone else is going to own that. You know, it's just a temporary place is all it is. Mm-hmm. We're just traveling through. We're just aliens. We're just foreigners.
In the world, none of it.
Right, exactly. All right, well, thank you, Eli, for reading that for me. I might have you read again another. It's not the verse, but it's the little excerpt, that little note or whatever, so. All right, would someone mind taking us through, we're still in Hebrews chapter 11, start out on 20, verses 21, and let's go down to 30, if you don't mind.
By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days.
Thanks, Sue. So I know a lot of this was on Moses, and you know, we all know the story where Moses was born, and you know, I think the whether it was a decree or whatever by the king that every male that was, I think, under two, all
right,
under two was to kill, you know, every Hebrew male, I guess, or you know, type thing. And, Moses's mother basically put him in a basket and put him downstream. And, Pharaoh's daughter, you know, basically saw him and took him in as her own and raised him. And he was basically, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but he was kind of like number two, wasn't he, in the kingdom, really. I mean, he had probably all the creature comforts that you could ask for, and, you know, he could have just continued right down that path and not worried about a thing, but instead, you know, he was faithful to God. You know, he was faithful to the call, what God wanted in his life, what he wanted him to do. You know?
Not much faith that Moses' mother had by sending downstream that someone was going to find him and take care of him.
Oh, I
know. You know?
Can you imagine? Yeah. I'm just saying, so I'm thinking, you know, that was the Nile, right? The Nile River. You know, I'm just thinking the Ohio River, right?
Yeah, well,
and the currents. And of course, that's a little dirtier, right? You know?
Yeah, probably.
But the Nile probably wasn't too clean. Mosquitoes and
crocodiles.
Oh, crocodiles, yeah. I mean, that's a good point. Yeah, that took a lot of faith on that mother, didn't it? And you're just hoping and praying that, because a basket, that's not really, I'd be afraid water would come into it too. And it's safe.
It would.
You've tried it, haven't you? I'm teasing.
She would cover it in pitch. Yeah.
Hey, Crystal's figured
it
out.
So
wait, Crystal, you have got it with Colson then, huh? Or,
yes. You're not thinking that every mother does that.
Yeah. I'm teasing. No, you're right, though. That would take a ton of faith, though, wouldn't it? Just say, hey, you know, but, I mean, due to the circumstances, it was kind of like, if I keep my son, and there, the soldiers come and they visit the house, and I can't keep my son quiet. I mean, you've heard of the Holocaust, right? And folks like trying to keep their baby quiet and smothering them to death, killing them themselves, not meaning to, but the soldiers are in their house and they're afraid. They're trying to keep it quiet, keep it from crying. Well, that's, I think, is what Moses' mother probably was afraid of as well. You know, it's like, well, God, I'm putting him in your hands, you know, and literally.
Put him in a little ark.
Oh.
Just like, because didn't Moses also put pinch on the outside of the ark?
Yeah.
Do not light candles. This is your one warning.
I hope they did that during the daytime. Don't you change it at night and have lights or candles on the
hold the candle closer. I think I missed the spot.
It's like a tar.
But that guitar is very flammable, correct? Correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah, it'd be very flammable. So it's not something you want to light a campfire in there. might be almost like hairspray for you ladies, right? You know, be like the Thriller, when that Michael Jackson Thriller or something.
Oh yeah, wait.
Oh yeah.
I don't think that was too much of a thrill for him. No pun intended. All right, so Eli, do you mind being my eyes again? I'm sorry to do this to you, but I had a couple of verses that I wanted to. The 11:23, because we did 20 to 21 to 30, and then this one too. Okay, So if you, and you can stop it right there. But just read it.
That's good. That's good thing you like showed up.
It's good that you showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, he needs glasses. Don't let him fool you.
I'm not able to read as far away. Yeah. It's hard for me.
Either really?
I'm close, I'm okay, but driving at night, it's dangerous. Oh,
right. I'm worried it is for me, too. Right? Especially with lights and glare and water. And
by so the time I read a sign, I'm past it. It says 11:23. Moses' parents trusted God to protect their son's life. They were not merely proud parents. They were believers who had faith that God would care for him. As a parent, have you trusted God enough to take care of your children? God has a plan for every person, and your important task is to pray for your children and prepare them to do the work God has planned for them to do. Faith allows us to entrust even our children to God. 11:24 says, Moses became one of Israel's greatest leaders, a prophet and a lawgiver. But when he was born, his people were slaves in Egypt, and the Egyptian officials had offered that all Hebrew baby boys were to be killed. Moses was spared, however, and Pharaoh's daughter raised Moses in Pharaoh's own household. It took faith for Moses to give up on his place in the palace. He knew it because he saw the fleeting nature of great wealth and prestige. It is easy to be deceived by the temporary benefits of wealth, popularity, status, and achievement, and to be blind to the long-range benefits of God's kingdom. Faith helps us look beyond the world's value system to see eternal values of God's kingdom. For more information on Moses, see his profile in Exodus.
All right. Moses went through a lot, though, before he decided to, before his calling, he saw the Jewish people being enslaved by the Pharaoh and saw the harm that was being caused to them. He, I believe, went out into the wilderness for some time, just like to gather his thoughts and get away from it all. And then that's when by God to go and save his people. And even then, he denied it and thought that he was not good enough and had told God no a few times. Oh. God finally said, okay, you can do this.
Well, Mary, yeah. he said, I can't talk. I kind of have a stutter. You know what I'm saying? He's like, well, your brother Aaron can.
Your brother Aaron can go with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, think about it, though. I mean, who had to go to Nineveh? Right now.
Jonah.
Thank you. I was going to say Job. All I do with Job. Jonah. Yeah. I mean, he didn't want, granted, I don't know if he's put into these folks that we're talking about, a man of faith or not, you know, trying to be faithful. But yeah, he made every excuse in the world. And of course, I think his biggest excuse is like, God, you're merciful. You know what I'm saying? He hated them. He's like, God, just do the zapper. You know what I'm saying? Do Sodom and Gomorrah and wipe them out completely. And he's like, no, do not send me. I don't want to send to give them your word, you know, type thing. And of course, we all know how that ended up. He did it. And he didn't want to do it, you know, but he did it. But anyway. But yeah, Mary, getting back to what you were saying on what Eli had read on that excerpt there on the 23, I think it was. It does take a lot of faith for mothers or parents in general to turn their children and give them to God. You know what I'm saying? And have faith and trust in God that He's gonna take care of them, right? You know, type of thing. That mother. Moses, that basically put him in the basket, that exercise, God, your son would be taken care of.
It's not just when they're kids either, when they're little either, it's when they become adults, when you have to let them make their own decisions and stuff.
Sometimes that's,
they're making bad decisions, not even say something, whatever.
Sometimes, to be honest, and I think we all can attest to that, or at least ones that have kids that are older, that's hard. Really, don't you agree with that? I mean, it's harder then than it is when they're babies or what have you. try to read those last nine verses, but if you guys want to just on your own, 30, 31 to 39, what have you, or next time John needs me to teach Sunday school, maybe I can kind of finish off there, and maybe then I'll delve into some of these folks mentioned, and we can go more into faith and stuff. But thank you for coming, Eli and Lindsay, right?
Yes.
If you didn't enjoy it this morning, I just wanted to let you know I'm not the regular teacher. So please come back when our regular teacher is here. You know what I'm saying? And then that way you can listen. John, okay. His name's John.
You did it fine.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. So we're not late. Let's all go to the word of prayer. Dear Lord, we just thank you again for this day you've given us. And Lord, we just pray for our pastor, Brother Tink, this morning as he delivers your message and your word. Just use him as your vessel. Speak through him, Lord. And as I said before, if there is one that doesn't know you as his or her personal Savior, they won't put that decision off, Lord. They'll make that decision today for you. Lord, we lift up the earlier prayer request this morning that we mentioned to you. We know that you can answer those as you see fit, Lord, if it be thy will. And Lord, just lead, guide, and direct us this upcoming week. Forgive us of our sins. It's these things we ask in your Son's name.